the other night I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to just find something in my Bible. I know what's going on. It says, you know, what is that thing in much knowledge is sorrow and much wisdom is grief or something like that. I'm lousy with that kind of stuff. And I just thought, you know, I know what's happening out there, and it's just amazing. Coming so fast. So I went right to 2 Thessalonians. So why don't you do that this morning before we get started? Look at 2 Thessalonians. I mean, you sit down and you talk to the Lord in your own private thoughts or whatever, however you want to do that sort of a thing. And then when you recognize, we're in a falling away. We know that. We read that in 2 Thessalonians. And he reminds us to this moment. He reminds us, he says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Okay? So we see all the CIA stuff. We see Obama doing what he's doing. And we see the Antichrist. We see all this stuff getting together. The school's been organized into a way to brainwash the kids. And it just goes on and on. Okay, but don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, when the day of Christ is at hand, when he's coming back, that's going to be quite the time. That's Revelation 19. That is not the rapture. That's going to be quite the time. And that'll be troubling. I mean, what's going on during the tribulation? All sorts of things. And he says here, listen, don't get shook up. This isn't when Christ is coming back. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Okay, so you just remind yourself, you know, this has to happen, the falling away thing. And we are so spoiled. I am so spoiled. I can't imagine the thought right now of me trying to find another job at 62 years old, let alone, if I find one, to move. And outside the educational system, inside, you know, another kind of a job somewhere. Well, we know that in Jeremiah, as we get close to the tribulation, one of the characteristics of the tribulation is the sound of the millstone will be gone. People won't be working. Unemployment. That scares me. I'm not a good World War II Jew hiding from the Nazis, going through living under in culverts, and I'm not good at that. You know, I like to have an income. We're struggling enough as it is, and I didn't want it to get any worse, you know? Then you start thinking about church people, and you start thinking about other people and the health of other people, and they're going through some possibly having cancer. We got Rebecca still up there in Idaho, still struggling with her tumor in the brain. I mean, there's just things happening that I've got nothing to complain about. Yes, I do. I can complain. But he says not to get troubled, not to get shaken in mind. This is all that has to happen. So, if that's the case, then I jump over to verse 13. And I cannot forget that this is probably the place we need to go more than anything. He says, but we, you know, he explains the tribulation that's coming. He explains that stuff, you know, the comings after the work of Satan and all that kind of stuff. It'll be a rough time. But people will think everything's fine because they're going to believe the lie. But anyway, us today. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. He didn't pick me for salvation. He chose me to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Don't mix that up with this Calvinist crowd that says, see, God chose me to salvation. He chose myself. I'm an elect. No, you're not. He chose us to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's what makes a salvation. And another sermon, okay, belief of the truth. What truth do you believe today for your salvation? You've got to believe what Paul teaches. That's the truth that you've got to look to, Ephesians 1, 12, and 13. Anyway, whereunto he called you by our gospel, that's Paul's again, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, this is his counseling to us here. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Okay. Stand fast, people. It's going to get worse. The stuff that we've heard 5-10 years ago about what's going to happen is happening. The CIA getting through the TVs, blah, 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 blah. And this, we know that he talks about always going to have an executive order. One of these days, he's going to cause a problem. They're going to cause the problem. And then they're going to have to put in martial law. And then there won't be an election. Now, that's going to happen one of these times. And it just goes on. So stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught. That's Paul. Whether by word or our epistle. So stand fast with what Paul writes. Paul is where we go for our strength. This just is. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, you see, he's risen, he's alive, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Okay, so we need to be consoled and good hope through grace. Now, I'm not going to be the grace-only crowd. I'm just not going to ever be. But I understand why people are going where they're going. Because they're not going to change their clothes. They're not going to change what they do. They're not going to change what they see. They're not going to change where they're going. It's getting to where you can't. You're not even allowed to. You're not even allowed to dress modestly at work for the women. Well, women, why are you working? Well, you have to. I realize that. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Men are not allowed to be the man they need to be. Teachers cannot be the teacher they need to be, because if you teach them the truth, you're in big trouble. And on it goes. So this is where we go for our consolation. Our good hope is through grace. So people just give up. I've got God's grace. Then they find this church that teaches nothing but God's grace. And they got the fellowship they want. They got the potlucks they want. They can wear what they want. And when they go to the little church services, the women are happy because they're running the ship. And the men are happy because the women are running the ship. And the music is fleshy. Everybody's happy. So the Paul crowd is just going to fall into that grace-only crowd. That's what's going to happen. People I know of that used to listen to us, be here for us, and I know it's not the case with everybody. Like Stephen is still hanging in there, doing really well in the Floyds, and you know all this stuff. There's still people out there. They just can't do the Facebook thing or the Pal Talk. I don't blame them. I hate Pal Talk, as we discovered Sunday night. But people are just quitting. Well, why not? We got God's grace. Well, because Paul doesn't teach that like that. Then he says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good... Oh, there it is. Establish you in every good word and work. So we're still supposed to try to do the right stuff. We're comforted. We've got everlasting consolation. We've got hope because of grace. If we didn't have his grace, what would we'd be... All the whinings and fears we do, we'd be right. We ought to whine and fear. But anyway... And then it just goes on. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Boy, the word of the Lord having free course today, you can't talk to anybody about anything. So, that's just what's going on. We're just in some rough times. And the economy's going, the weather's changing. It isn't global warming. There's no such thing. For a while, I thought that might even been the lie, that a strong delusion, not the lie, but God shall send them strong delusion. That they shall believe a lie. So these people all around the world are believing this global warming thing, and it's just killing everybody with the economy and the rules and the regulations and the fees and all this stuff, you know. UN tax and the hunting and the shooting, it all boils around the global warming thing. I'm not too sure that hasn't something to do with all sorts of things as it grows here. And it'll damn them, because they think that's really what's going on. That's not what's going on. But anyway, if I was in a pulpit, I'd say, well, that takes care of that. Let's have a special. No, I wouldn't. Not at all. Are we ready to jump into our, hope you're recording all that, Mark, because I haven't got the video today. The video had a breakage. The power outlet that goes into the cam broke. And again, so the power plug doesn't stay in the cam, but it's on warranty, so I sent it in. They'll get it back probably this next week. I tell you, if you're going to ever buy anything, try to get it through Crutchfield. Their warranty and their service is next to none. I think that's all they say. Isn't that what they say, next to none? I don't know. Let's get into this thing before we just do the introduction, I guess, this morning. Sorry to take up your long time here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are going to... We talked about this before, a long time ago, I think. And I've got a chart on it, but I want to update it a little bit. But when we're talking about these things, about what a good pastor is, you know, preaches Paul, da-da-da-da, we also got to realize, and is that it's the word knowledge. We have to know things before we can have an understanding and a wisdom. You hear me talk about that this morning. planning to put you to sleep. And Paul tells us things we ought to know. And he says it in such a manner, he says, know ye not. For some of the verses, he says, know ye not. And so, I know, Mark, you've heard this before, and Jeanette, but see if we can't update it a little bit. It's kind of like Paul says, you need to know this. Here's a list of things you need to know. And out of that knowledge of knowing those things, you'll get that understanding and wisdom. Okay. And you'll also be miserable because what you now know, nobody else knows, and they don't want to hear what you know, and they think that you're prideful because of what you know, because partly you might be prideful because of what you know. And that's always possible. People may be right about you. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that they don't know who you are. No, they may have you pegged better than you do. But regardless of that, or irregardless of whatever the word would mean, Paul also, to me, has that quality to his statement, know ye not, da 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 da. You mean you don't know, kind of a thing. So first he tells us what we ought to know, and then he's surprised at what we don't know. I mean, you don't know that if you put sugar in your gas tank, it'll ruin it. You don't know that? Or you don't know that if you don't put air in your tires, you're gonna wear the tread weird? Don't you know that? You know? Don't you know that if you leave the burner on, when you take the hamburger off the pan, you're going to splatter and eventually burn? You don't know that kind of a thing? And we can go through a list as parents that we say to our kids, you don't know that you can't... Well, it's very possible they don't know that. It's very possible. Because we don't teach them the things they need to know. Anyway. So we're going to look at, next couple sermons here, things that we need to know. What? You mean you didn't know that? You've been with us for how many years and you didn't know? That, you know, kind of a thing. And so we're going to look at, first we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 2:12, for example. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now you take any general Christian out there and ask them, do you know the things that God has given to you? Oh yeah, I got my salvation. Well yeah, but what else? I don't know, grace. That's good, yeah. What else? Well, I don't know. Why don't you know? So, let me ask you, what are some things that God has given to us, and he's freely given, I mean, he paid for it, he freely gave it, meaning we don't have to do anything to get it once we are his, put it that way. So, because I'm not running a video, and I'm actually much more comfortable not having a video here, I get my feet up on the desk, and I'm just comfortable as I'll get up. If we could have a two-way conversation, we'd probably talk all afternoon. This is nice. I like this. But I'll just look on the internet out there, on my screen here, on my screen, and you write down something you know that God has freely given to us. Sure, he has eternal home, of course. That's good. I'm waiting. He's given us comfort, condolence. What is that word we just read? Consolation. There we go. Consolation. Spirit. Okay, we've got the spirit. We've got the... wait a minute. Now you're going too fast now. Freedom. The liberty in Christ. Okay. The Holy Spirit, of course. He gives us peace. Now, let's stop on that. I like that because how do we get the peace? We get it from Paul in Philippians chapter 4. So see, people, these Christians out there that think they've got a peace and we're not in peace. We're supposed to be in peace. Well, what do we have to do to be in peace? We'll still be frustrated with life. Well, we still need to look at how's that going, Philippians 4:9. We'll have the God of peace if we follow Paul's teachings and what Paul showed us and what we see and hear and do from him. So yeah, there's still some things that cause our own personal peace. God gives us a peace, a spiritual peace, peace of God, that kind of thing, peace from God, and how's the other one? Peace of God, peace from God, and I don't know, peace of God, peace from, anyway. But we've got to remember that there's still some things we have to do here to have peace. Good, okay. The divine nature, his divine nature. Okay, he separated us. Okay, how about this one here? I was waiting for the kiwis, but those are good. That's really good. A book to know all. Yeah, that's totally true. Gave us his words, inspired, preserved. That which is perfect has come. So that's when it happened. That's what I believe. So many people don't believe that. Even Paul guys don't want to get into that one. It's just we hate to think that, you know, all our comments, all of our judgments are based on a book. Well, God didn't tell me that. Well, yes, He did. But He told you through the book. So if you don't believe this book is the final word of God, and it fits you today as it did 100, 400 years ago, and that which is perfect has come, so all the other stuff is done, and you get all your guidance, all your knowledge, all your peace, all your stuff from this book, rightly divided, you're not going to last with Paul. Okay, anyway, I'm just rambling here. You're missing a couple of the big ones here. Okay, we're already with him. How about faith? It's his faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. We got salvation. How about his righteousness? He imputes his righteousness to us. He's given us his righteousness. Okay. So, and grace. Okay, now here's the question. Now let's go back and let's find the scriptures for all that stuff. But let's not do that right now. That's something you can do on your own. But ask somebody. They haven't a clue what God has freely given them. And that's really too bad. Too many Christians think you still have to earn it. Now, He does tell us, because of the stuff that He's given to us, He says it's just reasonable service that you would make your body a holy living sacrifice, which means we have to tell our body no. Sacrifice it. You know, you dress modestly when it's hot, for example. Well, that's a living sacrifice. I'm still having a problem with the eating thing, partly because of my medicines and partly because of frustrations and depressions, all that kind of dumb stuff, and partly because my flesh likes to eat. So I'm not winning that one. My body's not a good sacrifice at all in that department. There's my confessions. Reasonable service. That's the least we could do, is to say to our flesh no once in a while, you know? Okay, so there's your start. What do we need to know? Well, we need to know the things that are given to us, freely given to us. We're putting our trust in Him. He gives us a sealant. How's that? A sealant. We're sealed. What did we do to get that seal? Nothing. He could have not sealed us. Old Testament, nobody was sealed. Tribulation, they won't be sealed. We're sealed. So I guess you could say he gave us the glue that seals us. So let's do, or should we stop right now? Let's do one more here. That's only kind of a short sermon. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. These are the things that a pastor, at least a pastor, ought to know. He teaches this to his crowd, you know. And we all know that we got a book, and we don't know these things. We've heard it preached, we've taught it, but if I were to give you a test, if I were to take the test, I wouldn't be able to write it down. And some of these I look at, and I think, well, I better review that one, because that's true, you know. Let's do this. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Now, the whole chapter is worth knowing, no doubt. The whole chapter. It's a two-part chapter. And there's two questions that are asked in each part. But anyway, and you need to be able to explain those to people, because they still think that what God wants us to do is to stop sinning. Well, yeah, if we start following what Paul teaches, we will stop doing a lot of sinning. But we will not stop sinning. It's just not considered sinning. It's considered a bad work. And all the things that we do, good or bad, will be burnt in the judgment seat of Christ. What comes out of that will be rewards, or you get burnt up. That's it. Bottom line. Well, how did Christ do that? Well, He got rid of the law. Did He get rid of the law? Or He just fulfilled it? Well, He fulfilled it, and He gives to us the result of that. So we don't have the law to follow anymore. Not for righteousness. But there is something we need to know about the law. And he says here, oh, let's see, where's it at here? Oh, I don't know. You know, it's not that the law is just suddenly gone. Come on, I'll find it here. Hang on. You probably beat me to it, some of you scholars out there. It's in here somewhere here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but that's not what I'm looking for here. We know that the law is good. If a man uses it lawfully, well, how do you use the law lawfully? 1 Timothy 1:8. We'll talk about that here pretty soon. Let's get back to this one. Let's take this one simple enough here. Know ye not? I mean, you don't know this? That so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. You didn't know that? Come on, you must know that. That not only were we, you know, risen, da-da-da-da, but, you know, we had to die with him, too. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, I mean, did you know that? Did you know that we're baptized into Jesus Christ? We were actually baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Wow. What is the one thing we hate to do? We hate to die. We hate to die to ourselves, for example. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, which we believe he was, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now there's where people drop it. Their music doesn't change. Their dress appearance doesn't change. Their language doesn't change. The things they do doesn't change. The movies they watch doesn't change. The time they waste watching movies doesn't change. The games they play on the computer doesn't change. I mean, go down the list. Christians are no different than the world in so many cases. Well, we've got God's grace. And for those of us that are Paul people, come on, we know all things are lawful. Ah, but there's strings attached to all that stuff. So we should walk in newness of life. Well, we are new. We're a new creature. Right? And every second, remember that one, every second is a new second, so, you know, kind of thing. Now, what baptism are we talking about here? We're talking about a water baptism? Well, of course we're not talking about a water baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. And we could look at verses, we could take the verses and study that thing through, make this sermon thing last for the next 10 years, you know, kind of a thing. But let's not do that. When you go through this chapter 6, which deals with this very thing, know ye not, then you need to know chapter 6. And notice this in this chapter. You'll see words like then, therefore, for if, knowing this, henceforth, now, knowing, likewise, what then? See, this whole chapter is one big gigantic thought with all sorts of little bunny thoughts off to the side. It all ties together. If there's a chapter to study and grasp, it's Romans chapter 6. If you go to verse 16, know ye not? What? You don't know that? He must know this. That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are to whom ye obey. I mean, who are you obeying when I chow down that third burger, which I'm getting away from that anyway. Who do you obey when you turn this on? You're obeying your flesh. You're obeying, you know. Now, here's something you got to realize, though. Keep going. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, this verse taken by itself means, it could easily mean, well, if you obey your flesh, you're lost again. Because that's what it makes it sound like. If you obey sin, it's sin unto death. Or of obedience, you do the right thing unto righteousness. But what you find out when you read this whole chapter is that beforehand, we were servants to sin. We were part of sin. We were part of our flesh. We were, I can't even think of it right now. We were one with our flesh. This is why spiritual circumcision is so important to understand in Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 16. We are separated from our flesh. So we ought to be able to obey righteousness. We have to be able to obey what Paul teaches us to do because the risen Savior taught us that. So does he give us the power to obey? No, we still have to make that choice. And you'll see that in Romans chapter 6. That now we don't have to obey sin, we just choose to. Before we were saved, we obeyed sin without any problem. So yes, we were a servant to our flesh. Now we're separated from our flesh. And yet we still choose to follow it sometimes. But we're separated from it. We're not dead with our sin. We're alive now. And that's something that you got to think about. Because we realize that we are just not, God does not tell us to stop sinning because he knows we can't. It's been proven time and time again. What does he do to the tribulation people, the tribulation saints, where they're supposed to stop sinning? He gives the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2. So yeah, he knows that he expects those people to obey the law, but he gives them the power to do so. We don't have the power on us to handle our flesh. We have the Spirit of God in us. Well, the Spirit of God in us keeps us clean. When we do mess up, the Spirit of God upon people in the tribulation will give them the power to stay clean. See the difference? He keeps us clean. In the tribulation, they don't have to keep themselves clean, but they'll have the power of God on them to do so. So what we got to realize today is, know ye not, that not only should we walk in the newness of life, but we've been baptized into his death as well. We have to die, and we have. We're saved. We are dead, but now we're alive on the inside. But we're walking around in a dead body. And now we choose to follow the sin thing in our flesh. We choose to follow the flesh. The devil can manipulate us and subtly catch us and da-da-da-da. But that's now by our choice. We're not forced to do that. Did you know that? Does it make sense? If it doesn't make sense, I'm a lousy teacher in this department. I'll teach you about Beethoven and Bach. But what you need to do then is sit down and just read Romans chapter 6. And I would say by yourself more than anything. Little Daniel, you can do this. You got a King James Bible. Just read that thing slowly. And don't let whatever you've been taught beforehand influence your thinking. And just take it straight from what it says. It's chapter 6, verses 1 to... I think it's 15. Let me check here. Verse 15 is the second half. The first half is we can't continue in sin because God made us dead to sin. He got us out of the hole. He took care of sin, period. So we can't continue in sin because there's no sin to continue in. The second half of the chapter says, yes, should we continue to do the wrong things, which is sin, you know? Should we sin because we're not under the law? And then he goes and tells you about how it is that you choose to do the wrong thing. But he ends up in verse 22 that reminds us, by the way, now you're free from sin. You are. We're made free from sin. That's why we're not set free yet. We're made free. We're not set free at all. We're still in our worthless, sinful, fleshy bodies. You have your fruit unto holiness. We do. We can have holy fruit. You know, our fruit is going to get us into the right, unto holiness and everlasting life. Because now we're saved. We're not part of sin anymore. We're made free from it. So, why do we do those things? Well, that talks about that in Romans chapter 6. And there's the gift of God. There's something he gave us, eternal life. There's one of the, he freely gave to us. We just have to, Ephesians 1, believe and trust. And you got these guys that say, well, isn't that a work? No, he didn't just make me save. I've got to believe what he taught me and then trust what he taught me is true. And then he makes all the changes. But So there's your first thing. What? Don't you know anything about Romans chapter 6? This is a fantastic chapter. And it's impossible to teach. Really, you just have to sit and read it and read it again and read it slowly. Ask yourself a question. Don't ask anybody else. Just ask the question and keep reading. God will answer it over time in your reading or through a sermon, whatever. But just let that thing soak in. And remember, it's a two-part chapter. And Christians don't know this. What? Don't you know? No, I didn't know that. That's because you have an unknown God. You have no idea about your God. Christians out there, if they are Christians, don't even know what God gave them. He just thinks that now that they're saved, they've got God's grace, or they think they have to start living right now to keep it. Galatians 1 deals with that. King James Bible is where it's at. And if you're into that thing, you're just going to have a hard life. Your family's not going to get it like you do. They might get it even more than you do. I mean, who knows? But that Bible really does cause division. And it's not with intent, but that's what it's going to cause. Just like Jesus did. I didn't come down here. You know, I came out here to cause division. I mean, I show up, I mess things up in your house, something fierce. This King James Bible gets opened up in your house, it's going to cause problems. So for now, just keep it. Study that thing and get it down yourself so you can say, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. You don't know that? Oh, it's marvelous to know that. Anyway, there you go, folks.